Psalm 32 and verse 7. From this passage, there's a lot of things that God offers us to rejoice in and be glad. My text verse is verse number 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. This is obviously talking to people that are saved. But God says we have things to rejoice in, and we have reasons to be glad. If just taking verse number 7, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. When? When does God give you a song? When you're in the deep valley of the pain and the trials of life? The world doesn't have that. In the deepest trials of my life, the Lord's presence was there, and He gave songs in the dark of the night, and let my heart rejoice. Only God does that. God says, be glad and rejoice, ye righteous. We have things accessible to us that the world does not have. For instance, the first part of the chapter talks about forgiveness of sin. I will confess my sins unto the Lord. For this cause shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. The world doesn't know what it's like to bend their knee to God in prayer and say, I'm sorry, I failed you. Then get up with that clean feeling. Only a Christian knows that. That's another thing we have they don't have. They walk around with the burden of their sin. Their conscience, Romans 2, witnesses against their sin all the time. They know judgment's coming, but there's no forgiveness. We get to rejoice in that forgiveness. And God says, shout for joy. How about this? Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. I wrote this down. Divine grace and help in times of trouble. I thank the Lord for his comfort, but I also thank the Lord. Look at, well, when you read verse number 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's God talking to you. And when you don't know what to do, if you would hit your knees and say, dear God, teach me, instruct me, show me. You said you'd guide me with your eye. And Lord, there's no verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt work at this place, or thou shalt buy this car, or thou shalt spend your... Lord, I need your guidance. And God said, I want to guide you. Praise God for that. I can rejoice in that as a Christian. How about this? Trusting the Lord instead of having a nervous breakdown. Look at verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. All these things God says at the end, verse 11, the whole psalm is wrapped up, and God tells us, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous. Our joy is a testimony to the world that they don't have the answers. They don't know what's going on. Their divorce rate is high. Their suicide rate is high. They don't know all that they claim to know because they don't have God. Listen to these verses. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 40, verse 16 says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. God be lifted up. How about Psalm 68, verse 3? Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Tonight isn't on praising God, but I would think with all that you have available, Christian, there ought to be times when you're glad in the Lord. All of us have, nobody is this way emotionally. Nobody. Some are a little more than others, but everybody has high points and everybody has low points. And I would hope there's some things you can rejoice in as a Christian. Psalm 105, verse 3 says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice, let the heart of them that rejoice, that seek the Lord. And finally, Jude 1:24, there's more verses. But now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There's a lot of joy available for a Christian. And if we as Christians would learn to focus on the good things, it would help us a lot. Praise God. We have a sinful nature, and because of this, we feel the gravitation to the negative and the gossip. If I don't watch it, my nature is one. I don't know that I'm totally, but I have to watch my spirit, or I'll get focusing on the negative instead of the positive to praise God. And because we're sinners, all of us gravitate to the negative. And I wish the same amount of positive would have the same effect as negative for us to get in the dumps, but it's not. A little negative goes a long ways. And I wish a little praise went a long ways, but it normally takes a lot more praise to counter the negative. How come you're supposed to focus on the good things? Well, I think number one, it gives the Lord proper praise. God says, thou shalt call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We're supposed to praise God for what he's done in our life and what he's working in our life. And I love this statement because it helps me as a Christian. If we'd praise God as much as we ask God for things, he'd give us more. God answers prayer, so we'll praise him. But when you ask God for things, he answers it, and then you go, thanks, and you're on your way. God says, more. You can praise me a lot more. And if we'd praise God more, we'd get more in prayer. How come we need to focus on the bright spots? Because it's healthy for your spirit. I'm going to show you your spirit here in just a second. But it's healthy. What's your spirit in the Bible? Your spirit is your attitude. It's your outlook on life. That's your spirit. When you get around somebody and sometimes they're negative and you go, they have a bad spirit. You're talking about they have a bad outlook on life. They're negative. They're gluck. They have stuff dripping from their mouth. They're just negative. Their spirit is bad. It's healthy for your spirit when you praise God. It helps you with your outlook on life when you praise the Lord, when you focus on the good things God has done. How come otherwise? Also, how come we need to focus on the good things? Because it's good for God's people. Proverbs 27:21 says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. I like thinking of our church, and I like when I pray thanking the Lord. I could go around the room, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but I thank the Lord for every person in here. Thank you, Lord, for their help. Thank you, Lord, that we get to serve together. I could go down each pew. I lift each person up in prayer every day. And I not only, oh God, be with them. I do that. But I thank the Lord for every person, and their help. Brother and Mrs. Norfolk, they gave their morning this morning working with the junior church. That was a blessing. They prepared. They took time for that. I can't do that. I can't be right back, everybody. Going there, da, 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 da. Okay, kids, you be good. I'll be right back. Okay, everybody. Okay. No, it's teamwork here. Amen. It takes help. I thank the Lord for Brother Bernie. I thank the Lord for his. No one knows the hours he puts in the records here. He records every transaction, all the things that he does. My wife and him work on the finances, but they free me up. They help me. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I really mean this when I say this. I thank the Lord for every person in here, and I thank the Lord that we get to serve together. You say, why? God says, as the fining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold, so is a man to his praise. When the people hear the good things that are happening, it's good for God's people. And I think there's nobody in here, I go, okay, there they are. Okay, I need to think of something good to say about them. Okay, it hasn't hit me yet. It will, just a second. I need to think about it. I could go around the room and I could thank the Lord. I can immediately. In other words, I don't have to. I know there's something good about them. I don't have to do that. And when you hear what I thank you for, God says it refines you. It refines you. Just like the fining pot for silver, and how they crush the herbs, and how they put the metal in the oven, and it brings the impurities to the top, and they scrape the impurities off, and you get fine silver or fine gold. God says we all enjoy praise, not flattery. Praise. Here's the difference. Flattery is this. General, something like this. Brother Dorsey, you're wonderful. That's flattery. Now that needs to be coming from his wife. Amen. But when somebody tells you something, you're awesome. You're awesome. Awesome about what? When it's not specific, it's flattery. But when it's a specific thank you, I appreciate Brother Dorsey and his help and how he helps us here. I thank the Lord for his work down at the bushes, how he helped us down at the sign. He put in a lot of time and a lot of work. I'm very thankful for that. That's praise. Do you understand? That's praise. And even though, watch this, even though he doesn't need that, when others hear it, I think other people say this, wow, he serves the Lord. I'd like to serve the Lord. I'd like to give of my time to do that also. I could go around the room once again. And once again, I'm not trying to leave anybody out. I just want you to understand it's good for God's people for us to focus on the bright spot. You say, well, there's stinking apple harvesters. They won. I'm on the cherry pickers team and I lost. And I just hate these fall programs. Wait a second. Think with me just for a second. Do you realize in the month of October, in 5 weeks, we had 15 visitors came to church. Do you realize in 5 weeks, if you add up the soul winning apples, in 5 weeks, in the month of October, our church saw, as they had people saved too, our church as a whole saw 25 people saved. That's wonderful. Do you know how many we saw saved last year? I think it was 84. All for 2016. Well, 25, my goodness, you're on the verge of about a fifth of that. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I think we have a lot to praise God for. And I could focus stinking lost, or I'd like to give you something to rejoice tonight about. You know what we did as a group of servants of the Lord? 15 visitors and 25 people saved and a whole bunch of people out soul winning. And I saw people out soul winning for the first time, and I rejoice in all of it, and I'm thankful for that. 15 visitors, 25 people saved. Can you take your Bible and go to Luke 15? Luke 15? Watch this, Luke 15. You know, then somebody's going to ask the question, you know, well, how many of those 25 that got saved really meant it? I don't know. I don't know if you meant it. The only one I know who saved is me, and I'm not supposed to worry about it. I'm supposed to rejoice when I hear that somebody else trusted Christ as their Savior. Luke chapter 15, look at verse number 7. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So what's that mean? I believe that means the saints in heaven, King David, Noah, Abraham, Adam, all those who are in heaven now that are saved and with the Lord, they watch us. And when we lead someone to Christ, every time somebody gets saved, they rejoice. Yay! That's wonderful. That's verse 7, right? Look down there. Verse number 10, likewise, I say unto you, Jesus tells you twice, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Well, the Bible tells me in 1 Peter that the angels look into what we get to enjoy of salvation. Angels can't be saved, but who's in the presence of the angels? Jesus is. Jesus is. So who rejoices every time somebody gets saved? The saints in heaven and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in the presence of the angels. That means 25 times this month in October, we got to ring the bells of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? We got to, look, if they're rejoicing, how come we can't? 25 people saved in 5 weeks. That's an average of 5 people a week. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. We ought to rejoice over that. You say, how come we need to focus on the good things? I'll say it again, because if Jesus rejoices, I think we can rejoice. And then finally, number next, it helps keep the critics at bay. It helps if all of us understand that our influence and the impact of what we say. Anytime we announce the negative, it's dangerous because it can make room for sympathy. People who lead with sympathy, in other words, it's wonderful when you can invite people to church because you're glad about church. Here's a sympathetic invitation.
Our church is really struggling right now. Would you come with me this Sunday, please? Our church is getting ready.
That's leading with sympathy. You can only lead with sympathy for so long. You can't lead with sympathy. So you don't want to ever announce the negative. You want to be, hey, would you come to church with me this Sunday? Boy, I'd love to have you. I'm looking forward to, that's not me leading with sympathy. I've watched people lead with sympathy. It doesn't last very long. I don't want to use negative to influence people. But watch this, if I don't watch my mouth, the negative will influence people. There's a difference in presenting a need and whining, all right? In whining. Your attitude determines your altitude. Would you take your Bible and let's just look at a few more verses. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 18. Watch this. It says here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You can underline the whole verse if you want. I think the most important word in that verse is this word, the first word, in everything give thanks. You say, how come? Because sometimes I can't thank the Lord for everything. Sometimes it hurts so bad that I can thank God. God says, if you can't thank me for what's happening, you can thank me in it. Let me give you an example. When the miscarriage happens, it's horrible. It's heartbreaking. And when you can't thank God for it because it hurts too bad, you can thank God in it. Let me give you another one. In the death of a spouse, it hurts. A part of you dies. And when you can't thank the Lord for it, when you can't say, thank you, Lord, for my spouse going to heaven because it hurts too bad, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. If you can't thank me for it, then thank me in it. It's very important. It's very important. How do I stay positive when it seems like my world is crumbling and I'm going through suffering and trials and pains? I'll say it one more time. If you can't thank the Lord for it, then thank the Lord in it. You can thank the Lord in it. That's how our faith of our fathers living still in dungeons, in trials of fire. How sweet would it be if their children could die for you like they did? We don't think that way. How'd they make it? Because when they couldn't say, thank you, Lord, that I'm being put to death, they could say, Lord, you're in control. You know what's best. There's a lot of good truth in that verse if you focus on it. A lot of good meditation there. Watch this. You don't go far in the Christian life without humility and gratitude. Dr. Lester Olof used to say that gratitude is the lubricant that helps everything go smoother in tough times. As many times as he was sued by the state of Texas for his girls' home, you know what his statement was? Praise God anyhow. Praise God anyhow. My wife and I were around a young man who had teenagers come to the camp where we were at, and his statement was, anytime something bad happened, he goes, you know what? That's praise God type stuff right there. When the flat happened, well, you can either gripe or praise God, and this looks like praise God type stuff. Might as well start praising the Lord. It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. It is amazing what praising can do. Because you got to get through it. My dad used to say, when you get a flat tire, you're going to, if it's raining and you got to change it, you're going to change the tire, or you ain't going anywhere. So you can do it griping or you can do it singing. You might as well start singing and whistling. But you better get the tire changed. Your attitude determines your altitude, how high you can fly. Your attitude is your spirit, and your spirit affects your service. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to show you two places, 1 Corinthians 6 and Romans chapter 1. Your attitude is your spirit, and your spirit is what affects your service. Every one of us have to guard our attitude and our spirit or our outlook on life, or you're not going to be able to glorify the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Ready? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because you're bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I have written in the margin of my Bible this stout preaching right here. Every time I read that, you better glorify God in your body. That means how you carry yourself. I'm not supposed to walk around, glorify God in your body. That means be careful how you dress and glorify God in your spirit. I wrote this down. You have no right to have a bad attitude. Well, you just got to know, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is your attitude. And if your attitude is sour and negative and nasty, here we go. This is stout. You have no right. You're bought with a price. God bought you with his blood, and you have no right to be that negative and that nasty with your spirit. Get a hold of yourself. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. I don't know if that helps you, but it helps me. Amen. Watch this. You're there at 1 Corinthians 6. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to say it one more time. Romans chapter 1. If your spirit or your attitude isn't right, then your service won't be right either. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 9. For God is my witness. And then this little phrase right here, whom I serve with my spirit. You serve God with your attitude. And if your attitude is nasty and negative and critical, you can't serve God. I serve God with my spirit, my attitude and my outlook. Christian, you have to, I said again, we're sinners, we gravitate to what's negative, we gravitate to gossip, we gravitate to it, and if you don't get a hold of yourself, you won't serve God. I serve God with my body? No, with my spirit, my outlook on life. In other words, Christian, I don't care whether you're, God says here, shout for joy, the upright in heart. Well, I'm not the shouting type. You better praise God. I do know this. Everybody needs some time where you get alone, either go out to the trees, go get alone by yourself, and it definitely isn't showbiz stuff, but you need time when you praise God because you get excited over something. I serve God with my spirit. And if your attitude goes south and you have no control over your spirit, doesn't God say you're like a city without walls, no protection? You're open for everything and all the circumstances of life and the news and everything and however life is happening to you, God says then you're out of control. Get control of your spirit. Why? So you can serve God. The glass is either going to be half full or half empty. God is keenly interested not only in our actions but our thoughts. Can I have you now go to, we're just going to go to two more places here. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 22. Matthew 6. My attitude is affected by what I focus on. Matthew chapter 6. I love thinking about this verse. Matthew 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So if you could control what your eye does, your eye focuses on certain objects one at a time. And God says, if you will be careful what you focus on in life, if you'll focus on the right thing, your whole life can be filled with light and it'll affect your attitude. But if you're focused on the world events, I can't think of anything more depressing. Now I like looking at the world events, but I don't live in the news. You know what the news tells me? Jesus is coming. And I'm excited about it. And I am glad. I am glad he's coming. But I can only take so much of what's going on in the world. And if it makes you negative, then my goodness, don't focus on it. But if the light of your eye, what you're focusing on, is good and holy and right, it fills your whole life with light. We're supposed to be focusing on our homes, our marriage, our children. We're supposed to be focusing on serving God, and then it fills our lives with light. But the next verse, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? It's sad watching Christians focus on things that aren't eternal, things that are not going to matter 10 years from now. Be careful, Christian. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Jesus said, what you focus on is magnified in your life. Be careful about what you talk about. Announcing negatives only make them bigger. We don't want to focus on the negatives, or we start supposing motives and reading between the lines. Look, every time I pull on the property, I have to be so careful because I'll see what's not done. That piece of trash needs to be picked up. So I stop the car, get out, pick that piece of trash up. Then I go over and I do that. And I start looking at, oh, well, then this needs to be done. And the bus needs to, and this needs to, and this needs to, and oh my goodness, we need to do. And it's like, And if I'm not careful, I need to step into my office, breathe, and go, okay, this got done this week, this got done this week. Praise God, this is getting done. Lord, thank you for this is getting done. And quit looking at what's not being done, because watch this, there's always going to be things to do. I have to be careful. Or I start seeing, instead of praising God for what we've gotten to do around here, I start thinking, how come we can't do this? How come we can't do this? And we don't have that. Well, quit looking what you don't have and look what you have. Amen. I think we're blessed. If ever I have to, look, when I'm vacuuming, if I'm ever tempted to complain about vacuuming, really, you'd complain about vacuuming. I'm tempted like everybody is. You know how I pull myself out of it? I thank the Lord. Lord, thank you that we have a building, because I know some churches that don't. I know what it's like to rent out a building, and every time you have a service, you got to set up the chairs, and then all the men after the end of the service, you got to stack the chairs, and everybody carry them out, and then right before Wednesday night, everybody's got to, okay, hurry up, get the chairs. chairs in here. We have a building. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we I think we have a lot to be thankful for. It's estimated that you have 10,000 thoughts a day. Some a little less, but most 10,000. To God, your mind is a window without curtains. God sees what you focus on and what you think about. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, listen, behind every human tragedy, there is a slow process of evil, wicked thinking. We say they fell into sin, but nobody falls into sin. You walk into it with your eyes wide open. I know what they mean when they say they fell in sin. That's because to us it happened suddenly. But nobody falls into sin. It's a slow, gradual process because of wicked thinking. They've really been falling a long time. We only saw them when they landed, but it began in their thoughts. Philippians 4:8 is a safeguard for that. Ready? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You take that list. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Take those six things and focus on those things. And if it doesn't fall in those lines, then don't think about it. Is it pure? Is it true? Is it holy? Is it lovely? Whether you're a Sunday school teacher, bus worker, or a parent, this helps everybody. In watching Brother Hiles, love people. You could see this through his ministry. Brother Hiles always sought for the good report. I don't know if you remember when the Rodney King riots happened, but Brother Hiles came to all the men and gathered all of us college students, and I think there was around 1,000 of us. And he said, okay, men. He said, we've got riots. They were having riots over in California. And he said, should we go visiting this Saturday? Do you think it's going to be safe? He said, y'all are out on the bus routes. He said, tell me what you think. And bus captain after bus captain stood up. I think my area will be fine. He said, we don't seem to have the rioting here that they have over in California. He said, I think we'll be fine. And he said, and then I heard Brother Hiles say this. He said, honestly, he said, when you're doing the Lord's work, he said, don't forget God protects you. And he said, if you're concerned about something happening this weekend, he said, welcome to my world. And then this is what Brother Hiles said. He said, there's not a day that goes by where I don't get a phone call or a letter from someone saying, I'm going to kill you. He said, I live with this every day. That's the only time he ever said that to us. You mean every day? Now, this is before emails now. You mean every day you get a threat, I'm going to kill you. I don't know what that's like. And that man would walk out, preach, encourage us, serve God, start churches. But every day you get a phone call or a letter in the mail, I'm going to kill you and your children when I get the chance. Wow. And he said, men, welcome to my world. He said, you're not going to live everything I live. He said, but I deal with this every day. He said, you got to trust God and go on. He said, you can't go live in a cave. Amen. I learned something that day. Don't focus on the negative. You face reality, you pray, you give it to the Lord, and then you serve God. I'm not saying being a Robert Schuller and the power of positive thinking or the hour of power. I am saying, I know you can't avoid to correct problems. However, please focus on the bright spot. Let me just give you a few things that can dim the encouragement that makes available to us. I think, first of all, you promote bright spots in your service and your soul winning. Last night, I got to preach to 200 people I'd never met before. I don't know that that's happened in my life. Brother Eric was burdened about the people. He said, Pastor, would you come and preach? I said, I'd be honored. I walked into that room smiling. There was people there from a different country. I spoke English. What an honor. What an honor. I don't think I'll ever forget last night for many reasons. You've heard me talk about it. I mean, there was kids running. They don't have nurseries over in Africa. While I'm preaching, you need to get saved. Jesus died for you on the cross. These kids, running right past me. It was exciting. And then the whole time I'm preaching, people are walking in carrying huge things of food, like right past me. I'd never dealt with more distractions, but I didn't want to get past the honor of preaching salvation to over 200 people that I'd never met before. Two people raised their hands at the end, and I wanted more to hear, but I realized I was dealing with all types of distractions. But I never want to forget last night. And yeah, there could be negatives I could focus on, but I got to preach to over 200 people last night. What a blessing. You know, we pray, dear God, use me. Please use me. Before I die, dear God, use me. And then when God does, we're shocked. What is it that can put out the bright spots? Well, I think we need to be careful and promote our soul winning. I think I enjoyed yesterday. I'll tell you something that happened. Nathaniel wanted to go with me soul winning yesterday. And so last week I prayed. And I think he was praying. And God gave us one yesterday. Name was Natasha, all the way from Uzbekistan. I've never led somebody from Russia to the Lord before. And she had a strong accent. She stood there at the door, 32 years old. And it was as sweet as could be. God gave us somebody saved yesterday so Nathaniel could watch his pastor lead someone to Christ. God did that for him. I don't want to forget that. That was a blessing yesterday. Do you understand? Now, Natasha was scared to come to church because her husband's gone for a month at a time. He works in California and comes back. I said, I want you to meet my wife, and I want you to meet his mom, and I want you to meet the ladies in our church. And this is what she said. People around here have guns. I said, well, that's a good thing, but she's from Russia, and you know, she didn't take it that way. I don't want to forget yesterday. That was a blessing. You ought to have soul-winning things that encourage you. I'm almost done. The joy of the Christian life should come to you, Christian, from your obedience and the people you're investing in and praying for. Who are you praying for right now? Who are you investing in right now? Then maybe that's why you're not happy. A righteous man is satisfied of himself. My obedience is supposed to feed my Christianity. And you know what brings you down? When you don't invest in people. You're the pastor. I am. I'm supposed to invest in people. But I know this. I'm supposed to influence you to invest in people, because that's where your happiness comes from. Lord, you should be praying for somebody, you should be investing in somebody, and you giving of your time. Tonight, I just wanted to give a few points on, we're now done with the program. We have a lot to praise God for. I'll say it again, 15 people visiting church. Wow, 25 people saved. We have a lot to praise God for. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. If he comes back tomorrow, it's been wonderful serving him. If we get to serve him through 2018, glory to God. I think God has some wonderful things for our church, but I love serving with the people of our church, and I think everybody in here has a lot to praise God for. Let's pray. Father, I pray that, Lord,